Welcome to Fearless Marketing for Life Coaches. I'm Simone Soul, and I'm here to teach you how to get your life coaching practice fully booked without having to pay for ads, buying Instagram followers, or complicated sales funnels. It's not rocket science, and you can do it too. Listen on to find out how. Hey, everybody. So I have my colleague, Vicky Louise, back on the show, and I just had her on just a few weeks ago, but I just knew that I had to have this conversation about money on my podcast so that everybody can listen, because there's just some like next level ideas in her brain. And Vicky is an anxiety and procrastination expert. She helps high achievers stop procrastinating and get all the things done without anxiety and be awesome. She's the host of her own amazing podcast called Fuck Shit. What? No, I did that wrong.
Amazing. Go fuck shit up. It's fuck called fuck up. Anxiety. Yeah. It's called fuck anxiety and get shit done. But the next one will be fuck shit up.
Yes, that's what it's called. So welcome back, Vicky.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. So honored to be here as always, ready to like have this conversation.
All right. So I'm actually going to start by telling Vicky a story that I told her in a different setting and telling all of you too. So because I think it's a good story that gets us thinking. So the other day, my husband had gone out for some drinks with his old buddies, and he came back home, and I was asking him, hey, how'd it go? What was it like? And he was telling me a story of one of his old friends whom he hadn't seen in a while. And this friend dropped the big news that he had just spent the equivalent of $150,000 on a used Porsche. Say pre-owned Porsche. And he had just driven it there and he was like so excited about it. And my husband and all of his friends were like, WTF, because none of them are rich. This guy who bought the Porsche is not rich, he's like a really normal guy, like middle class, normal person. And he said that he saved up for years to spend this money on a pre-owned Porsche. And so they were all like, what's wrong with you? Why would you do that? That's so stupid. You could have done so much other stuff with that money. Like that's so like, they were all making fun of that guy. And what this guy said about why he spent that money to get that Porsche was, you know what? When I get out of the car, the look on people's faces, that alone is worth it. That's what I saved up for. That's like what the Porsche is for. And I just like love every minute of it. And my husband was like kind of telling me the story, like, isn't that so stupid? But I was like fascinated by that story because it just showed me about like how, you know, we pay for things based on what we think is valuable. And that value is so subjective and it's tied to an emotion that we're after. And this guy, I haven't even met this guy who was a friend of my husband's, but he, you know, totally like not rich middle class guy, saved up aggressively for years to pay for a Porsche just so that he could experience whatever that emotion is where you get out of a car and everybody's like, oh, he's ignoring Porsche, right?
Right.
And it was worth it to him.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then that kind of like got us talking. And so tell me your thoughts about money, emotions.
So yeah, one of the things that sparked this conversation between us was like a dialogue around money. And what I said is something that we've all forgotten, which is the purpose of money, like why money was created, was to measure value. Literally, it's like a means of exchange of goods, of services. That's the point of money. That's why it exists.
So and measure of value, measure of value, like I am selling this pig. And this pig is worth like, I don't know, 7 sacks of grain. And right. Like, and that like smaller pig is worth 5 sacks of grain. And we're going to like create this thing called money to measure the value. So we don't have to keep like exchanging sacks of grain.
Right. Exactly. It's literally just a means of exchange. That's why it's been created. And what we've evolved and how we've evolved to treat money is something completely different. So much so that often we like value the money over the value that the money is supposed to be representing. And what I mean by that is, and this is the example that I gave in our group, was like, I used to work in finance and, you know, people get paid a lot of money working in investment to make more money from money. Like we literally have huge industries and businesses built and corporations built around making more money, like literally just making more money, not making more value, figuring out ways to increase.
Something that really confuses me, and I know a lot of other people, about modern finance, mm-hmm. where you just like things you do with money that has nothing to do with actual value. There's nothing being created in the world because of money. It's just money creating more money.
Right. And like, so I used to work in like the pension funds industry, and it's really, you can see that our relationship with money has changed because of scarcity, because of fear of running out. So we began hoarding money instead of hoarding value. Instead of trusting that like we can always create value, we started to think, oh, what if there's a time where I can't create value? If money is now the means of exchanging value and I'm going to need value at a time when I can't create it, then I'm going to need money. Does that make sense? Like I need to store money because I don't trust that I can create more value.
So I think if it was like me 3 years ago or even like 2 years ago listening to this, I would have thought, yeah, but like you can buy value with money. So if you have a lot of money, isn't that basically like having a lot of value?
Yeah, and for some people, it literally is. They value the security that having a certain amount of money has in their bank account. But what's happened is like money has become that same thing of value where we get emotions from money, which is just like an interesting realization. Mm. So are we attaching our emotions to like seeing a certain number in the bank? Or are we attaching our emotions to like having the life experience? Like really, because we're speaking to coaches, I want you to think about how often you've like not invested in coaching or in something that you've wanted. I mean, I hear people all the time, right? I work with anxious people. They say, oh, I would love to invest, but if I spent all my savings or if I went into debt, my anxiety would be so high that I wouldn't be able to get the value anyway. Mm. So really we're attaching our security to money, which is just a measure of value. And so we're not getting the value that we want in our year. Like you can have a goal for this year and you can not get that goal for this year because you're not investing money because we're more attached to the money than we are the value.
More attached to the emotion that the money sitting in your account is giving you.
That's
what's so interesting, because it's like people don't spend money in order to avoid an emotion. Mm-hmm. And people spend money in order to like experience an emotion, like mm-hmm. my husband's friend. But that's so funny, because I remember having that thought, is if I spent that money, I would be so anxious, I wouldn't be able to think about anything else. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like not trusting myself to feel and process emotions.
Right. And really, and even for me, you know, going into the last mastermind, I put all of it on credit card. My husband didn't have a job. I didn't have a job. We were moving back to England from the US. Like there was every reason to not go into the discomfort of putting $25,000 on my credit card. But like owning that discomfort early on and sitting with it and processing it, I think is one of the reasons why I succeeded so much. So when people tell me like, oh, it's going to be uncomfortable for me to invest, I'm like, yeah, it fucking should be. Like, I don't want...
But okay, tell us more about that. What did that exactly look like? So you not having a job, husband not having a job, not like having the cash and, you know, not putting it on your credit card and you just being willing to feel the discomfort. What exactly does that mean? Walk somebody else through somebody who might like to try that.
Yeah. I really saw it as like, you know, getting onto a roller coaster and you're like, you're strapping yourself in and you're like, should I, shouldn't I? And the lock's coming down. You're like, I'm kind of here. I'm all in. And the lock goes down. And you're like, well, I'm fucking here now. And then it does go up and down. And it's so interesting because I also have stories where I've queued up really long to go on a roller coaster, got to the front and then not gone on. And I think that,
oh my God, is such a metaphor.
Yeah. Having that and then being like, oh, I wish I had gone on, I think has propelled me into like being willing to take action consistently, because I have memories of not taking action and missing out on fun roller coasters. But for everyone listening, I would really say it's when we make decisions for comfort by design. Our brains are making decisions for safety, the safety of I don't want to go into debt, the safety of I want to have a cushion of money or anything like that. And really, as coaches, like what we start doing is making decisions for discomfort, knowing the discomfort and who we become by leaning into it is way more valuable than the money. Like I got my value back for the mastermind before we'd even started it because of how it changed me the moment I was willing to, like, it required just such self-trust, and not trust that I would succeed, trust that I wouldn't beat myself up if I didn't, trust that I would have my own back no matter what, trust even in our coach, and that I like trusted her to take me on. And I was like, okay, if she's not doing this for like a joke, she's doing it because she believes in me. It required such like deep self-trust that was the value of the 25K before the mastermind had even started. And so for everyone listening, that's the way to think about investing. It's not how can I invest in a way that's comfortable. It's how can I invest in a way that's going to get me the fucking results? The money is, the actual amount of money is irrelevant. Like it could be 5,000, 10,000, 15,000. Yeah, it's just a fucking number really at the end of the day. But it's really about the emotion. And I think we make decisions for comfort and we should be making decisions for discomfort.
I like wanted to stop you every 10 seconds and make you like slow down just because it was like, this is deep, y'all. You know, it's so profound. We constantly make decisions for comfort when it comes to money. And then you know what our society calls it? Our society calls it prudent, right? Mm. Like sensible, like you gotta be smart, don't get into debt. And like coaches, you're gonna hear this, you know, talking to potential clients all the time. I hear it all the time. You know, people like, yeah, making decisions against discomfort. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna save up for it. It's just not the right time. I have all these other expenses. And their brains are giving them all of this logic. And it feels so compelling because that's how we are conditioned to think about money. Like it's in your bank account, good. It's leaving your bank account, bad. You know, money coming in right now, good. Money going out right now, bad. Right? So we just reflexively make decisions based on that very almost kind of like caveman kind of model is like, you know, in good, out bad, you know, and to stockpile as much as possible. And that keeps us so limited. And I completely agree with you. Every time I've made a big investment, it was making the investment itself and the emotional kind of work that I had to do in order to become the person who has her own back enough to like tolerate the risk of that has been what gives me the greatest value. It has been what gives me the transformation, even apart from whatever the investment is actually for.
Yeah. And that's what we miss when we're focused on, we're slowing ourselves down. It's really like the money just symbolizes our relationship with ourselves, right?
Totally.
Like if we're not willing to like back ourselves, if we don't think that we're worthy, if we don't think that we're capable, and then we keep in that story and the money is just like the action that shows our belief in ourselves.
Yeah. You know, I have made a lot of money in the past year. A lot of money.
That's amazing.
And so what I have come to is a point where, you know, making most investments for my business, it's not a big deal because I just have a lot saved because I made a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And so I remember last year when I was investing $2,000 in, you know, the first business programs I invested in, that felt like such a giant number because $2,000 was, and it still is, it's a lot of money. And I had never spent that much on anything before. And I remember like my finger was like shaking as I tried to click on the buy button. And I think what feels like a lot like changes with time and with the change of circumstances. And so now like if something was $2,000, I can easily spend that, right? Like I have a lot more money. And so now I ask myself like, okay, so most business things I want to invest in, I can afford it. Like it's not like, you know, I mean, I don't love to use the word afford, but like I don't have to think that hard about it, right? It doesn't give me a lot of emotional drama, right? So I thought, what if my coach has raised her price for something so that I have to give her, I don't know, all of my money? All of the money that I earned in the past year, so that if I give her money for the thing, I will be left with zero. Would I do it?
And?
Because this also happens too, Vicky, is that, I don't know if you've experienced this with your clients, but there are people who like have a lot of money and investing in coaching is not a big deal, right? But then they come in and they might, you know, spend thousands of dollars, but then they have this kind of like tourist mentality. It's like, oh, I'll just like, see how it goes.
Right. That's the danger. And even like, we can even speak about things that are free versus paid. I was thinking about this as well, leading up to this conversation. Like we all think we want free, but we show up differently for the things that are paid. Like I want to pay for something. It's like, you know, there's so many like YouTube videos and even podcasts. Like I love podcasts, but there's so much like free information to consume. It's amazing. But when you sit in discomfort, and it's not even just money discomfort, it can also be like the time that you dedicate to something. But
I think what you're saying is like when you do something, you want to hurt a little bit for it.
Right. You want to have that discomfort.
Exactly.
You want to have that. That's your buy-in.
You either spend your money, you spend your otherwise precious time, you spend emotional comfort. Mm-hmm. That is what creates, you know, value in so many instances. So back to my story. And would I do it? And if I'm being really honest, like I imagined the discomfort of like, I made all of this money and now she's going to take it all. No, what am I going to do? My girl's going to buy a house and all this stuff. And then I was brought back to what brought me to invest a range of sums of money from $2,000 to $25,000 to my coach. And every time it was, okay, except for the first $2,000, which I was like, it was my first big investment that changed the way I think about investment. But every investment since has been honestly a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. And I think it was because I trusted myself so much. I trusted her so much. I trusted in the process so much because every time like I did what she said, I got amazing results. And every time I really committed and made myself do the hard work of getting out of my comfort zone, and like there would be new input in my brain. And I've talked about this in several different places, but there would be new input in my brain due to what she is teaching me that my brain would resist so much. You know, she would say something and I would say, I fucking hate that. Or like, I'm never going to do that. That's stupid. I can't believe I paid her to tell me stupid shit that I'm never going to do. And then just being willing to just sit with the annoyance, the anger, sometimes humiliation, shame of taking coaching that feels like ass, and knowing that I am 1000% willing to do that to get to the other side of where that, whatever that is, to get to the learning, to get to the growth. And so because I had that relationship with myself and with her in my brain, right? I had that relationship with her in my brain. This did not involve her. She was not part of any of this. I was like, yeah, $10,000, no problem. $25,000, yeah, of course. Because I believe in myself so much. I believe in you so much. I believe in the process so much. And so I took my brain to the place where if she asked me to give her, I don't like, you know, multiple six figures for something, you know, that she thought was like, that I should have. That might be a little bit more, a little bit mind drama to manage. But I was like, you know what? I think who I want to become by making that investment will be more important to me than me wanting to hold on to this money in my bank account.
That's exactly the point. And as coaches, that's what we are trying to tell people when we're on those consult calls with them. It's like who you get to become is the fucking value. That's the value, right? Like yeah. That's really what you want from the investment. And whether it's 5,000, 10,000, that's why the money doesn't matter. Like, we don't want to make decisions based on like the amount of money it is. We want to make decisions on the exact criteria you just mentioned, which is trusting yourself, trusting the person you're investing in, trusting the process you're investing in, and being committed to who you will be on the other side of it.
And I will say, if it's your first time investing, or maybe it's not even your first time, but it's a new kind of thing, then you might not have 100%, you know, trust in the person you're investing in or the process. It might be a leap of faith. And sometimes you take that leap of faith because who you become in the process is worth it, is all I wanted to say.
Yeah. And that was my experience of investing in our mastermind. It was really like very quick. It was really more for me, the decision was more like, I'm going all in on my coaching business. I'm like 100% committed to making a success of it. I like what she's doing. I trust myself. Like it was, so it's kind of like different experiences because you went through the stages of the 2K, the 10K, the 25K and got results along the way. Whereas I was just like, yeah. And that is kind of the point, exactly what you just said, is you can make decisions that way. And that can also create like massive growth, like all different routes lead to Rome or whatever the saying is. Yeah. Like go for the growth.
Yes. And just know, be aware that your brain is always going to tell you that when you do this, it's going to go against everything you've been taught about money. Right? It's going to go against everything you've been taught about what's intelligent and what's sensible and what's prudent. And your brain and maybe other people around you are going to have an airtight logical case for why this is a really bad idea. And that level of trust in yourself and that level of investment in who you are becoming, right, has to be strong enough to override that extremely strong cultural conditioning that says, in good, out bad, right?
Right. And it also is so different on what you're spending. Like when I told my husband that I wanted to do this and put this on credit card, he laughed at me because we would go to like Target or the supermarket and I would be like, oh, this brand is cheaper. Let's get this. Like we were watching our dollars at the point where we made this investment. It wasn't like, yay, we spend money, we're going on vacation, like we didn't have a honeymoon, like all of these different things, but it didn't matter because I was so committed to the growth. That's like really the place you want to be making decisions from. Not just like, oh, I've listened to this podcast and now I'm just going to spend money, but really think about always be making decisions for the person you want to become and be more committed to her than you are to your comfort today.
So it's like paying for investments for who you want to become. Like the real thing about it is increasing your discomfort tolerance, because mm-hmm. your discomfort tolerance is going to be exactly what determines your outcome. And the thing that involves money is just one aspect of it.
Right.
Right. And if you're going to go for a really big, juicy transformation, there's going to be so much discomfort along the way because you've got to change who you are and you've got to learn how to think differently. And that is the most uncomfortable thing ever. The value of paying the money is just in the, you know what, like I'm becoming somebody who is willing to feel the discomfort. So I just want to ask everybody, like, I want you to all ask yourselves the question, like, how much discomfort am I willing to tolerate when it comes to the change that I want, right? And ask coaches, like, are you in integrity with that, like, discomfort tolerance in your life, in your investments, in your brain? Like, good luck selling to your people.
I think one of the biggest, it was like as soon as I invested, you know, in this program, my whole attitude towards debt completely changed. Before that, I'd been like so anti-debt. And here I was swimming in it and grateful for it. I was like, oh, and now I'm so grateful for it. I'm like, debt allowed me to get where I wanted to go quicker. Like there's an ability to borrow money. That's like a phenomenal thing. It allowed me to like now, you know, if someone says they have, you know, their husband or their partner that they have to convince, I was like, yeah, been there. Like I know what it's like to stand in the belief so strong that he was like, you're fucking crazy, but like, I'm not arguing with you. Like, you know, it's on you to make that decision. And I was like, yeah, it's on me and I've made it. So all of these things, like the growth, really, this is what we mean about living in integrity, is like making decisions the same way that you expect your consults or clients to make decisions, like be that person.
How would you respond to somebody who says, you know, like that all sounds really good, but I have taken that leap of faith and I have invested big before and I didn't get the result and I've been burned by that. And now I'm really cautious, like even if I want to, just because I have like a history of like not having gotten a result from an ambitious investment. What would you say to that?
I would say you can keep making decisions based off failure, or you can keep making decisions based on like the future you want to create. And actually, I will tell you and everyone on this podcast, I did want like a few years earlier, because I've been around the block a little bit, invest $10,000, which was like 4 months of working with like a Facebook ads person, and just like burnt that money to the ground. And if I would have just sat in that, oh, well, I've done that. I think I did that 2 years earlier. If I would have just sat in that failure, I wouldn't be where I am now. We're not owed success, right? It's not like, oh, you've made an investment, you're going to get successful. Like you're still responsible for creating the result. That's why you'll work with different clients and they'll get different results. It's not like you can create all of their results, or the investment alone creates all of their results. But really it comes down to like, of course you failed. I think everyone, like, do we expect to succeed the first time we do something? The most successful people fail the most. So like the fact that you've got to fail is like, it's like you've built that muscle. Good. Keep going. Like you're on track. Like, do you want to stop? It's like getting, literally, it takes me back to being in like Disneyland Paris, queuing up for 3 hours, getting to the front, deciding not to go on, watching my brother and my dad go on the roller coaster, come back, say how amazing it was, and being like, oh shit, why didn't I do that?
So funny. I've never heard anyone tell a story about going to Disneyland Paris before. Because I'm like, oh yeah, there's one there too. Yes, exactly. And here's the thing. You're totally right. And the thing is, if you think that, oh, I've made investments before, I took that leap of faith and I didn't get what I wanted. And if you're telling yourself that story, notice that that's the story you're in. Like, first of all, that's a story.
Yeah.
You might feel like it's the truth, like I spent this money and like I only got this result and that just like wasn't good enough and that's not what I was promised and et cetera. And just as you hear me talk about this, like listen for the victimhood in that story. Like I didn't get what I came for. Like if that's the story that you choose to live in, right? And I think in so many instances that almost like becomes part of people's identity. Mm-hmm. Like I don't get what I came for.
Right. And that blame of other people versus that responsibility of like, why didn't I get what I came
for? Or it's blame of other people and or self-blame. Like, it was all me. I couldn't show up. I let myself down and I'm going to let myself down again because last time I had so much hope and then I couldn't show up for it. And that's who I am.
Right. And on that note, like one of the things I say to my people is like, hope is fucking useless. Hope is not the emotion to make decisions from. It's really like exactly what you spoke about earlier, trust and commitment. And those are the two things.
It takes time to learn that.
Right.
Like hope was my strategy for the longest time too. And then through repeated failure, I learned how to make something else my strategy. It's like, oh, that doesn't work so well, does it?
It's like blowing out the candles, like six-figure business.
Right, exactly. I made a vision board, right? Like, no, I'm totally for vision boards, but not if your only strategy is hope. And the other thing I wanted to say is that, so first of all, question that story of like, I didn't get it. Like, it, and either I am at fault or that other person is at fault. And just notice that if you're just keep repeating these thoughts to yourself that put you in such a disempowering story. And if you keep telling yourself that story, we're coaches. We all know that the stories we tell ourselves keep happening. We keep creating them, right? And secondly, I've had this happen with quite a few clients who come to me saying, oh, well, you know, I invested in this other thing. It didn't work as well as I hoped. And they come with this like slightly victim-y story. And then, you know, I challenge them on it and they see it and they get it and they start to change their stories about it. And when they work with me, what they end up finding is everything that they invested in and thought like was a failure or like they didn't get what they came for, it ends up, they're like, oh, I am still building on top of what I learned there. Like
right.
I did get the value and it only comes out when you start like believing that you did get the value, right? So it's like, oh, that coach who I thought gave me nothing, like now I'm using the stuff that she taught me or all the great results that they get working with me feels like the compound effect of everything that they did invest in the past.
Right. Yeah, it's not like a binary, like, well, if you don't have the results from that one program or that one coach, then you got zero. And I think our brain just loves thinking in binary of like one or zero, and it's just not true.
Yeah, value, no value. Result, no result. And if you're no result, then either you suck or that person is a fraud.
Right, and here's the other thing. Like when we start a business or we start anything new, our brain really wants to succeed really quickly and make lots of money really quickly. But then we're not actually learning how to make lots of money. And lots of people come to me later with like imposter syndrome of like, I don't know. I literally had someone come to me and say, I had a successful coaching business on like dating, but then I decided I wanted to do something else. But I had all my clients really easily for the first business. So I never learned how to actually build a business, failure, like create my success roadmap. And so there's the famous quote, Gandhi, like winning or learning, and our brain always wants to win. It shoots to win. And at the beginning of a business, and in fact, really always, but at the beginning in particular, you should be shooting to learn. And when we are spinning in, I didn't get what I want, then you're going to get zero value because you should be learning at that point. You should be failing. You should be building that muscle of like, what do my people need from me? What inspires them into action? Where can I create value? And when we're just focused on getting paid like super quickly and it's not happening and then we're spinning in failure, we're missing the juicy lessons that exactly like you said for your clients are going to compound into such great growth later on and more money, to be honest.
You're so wise. I can't stand it. Everything you say is like gold. So one thing that one of my mentors says is, when you are a hell yes, the price is just a minor detail. And I know that when I said this, I think you responded and said like, hell yeah, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And I just want to offer to the coaches listening, like, where are you not a hell yes on your own growth, right? And so for example, so my husband's friend, the one with the Porsche, like he paid $150K for it. And I bet if it was $180K, even $200K, mm-hmm. he would have paid. It's not like, right. Oh, the extra 50K. No, right? It's like, I want the fucking right. Porsche.
Right. I want the feeling.
I want the feeling. Yeah. And so I invite you to think about where that has been true in your life, where you were such a hell yes that the price was just a minor detail.
Also for the coaches, and this is what we spoke about on the page, was when you're obsessed with the price and you think the price is the decision maker, you are missing your opportunity to show them the fucking value. Like, show them the value. They're not making the decision based on the price. If you can guarantee someone results and you sit in this space and you are the expert, like, we are the example of this at the level that we invest in. And, you know, in our coach, like, really, the price is not the point, the value is. But when you spin in, like, what should I charge and how much is the right price and is this too much and is this too little? Why are you not spending that time thinking about how can I give more value? How can I help them? How can I get my clients' results quicker? That's where you want your brain energy. The price is so irrelevant. Everyone could, like, come into Simone's Facebook group and say, like, how much should I charge for my program? And me and her will just put random numbers in and it's done. Focus your brain on value.
Let's do that.
Do it.
That was fun. The way that I would put a different spin on that is, like, when you're having drama about your price and you just keep thinking about your price, just a different way of saying what Vicky just said is, like, take that energy and focus it on creating the hell yes for yourself. Like, does your program feel like a hell yes to you, right? And you might think that it is, but if you are, like, having drama about the price, it clearly isn't. Right? Because hell yes is, like, my husband's friend and the Porsche. It's like, whatever it takes. I will save up for years. I will go to the ends of the earth and I will get that fucking car, right? Yes. And it also makes me think of, like, hormonal teenagers doing stupid things, like, to get into, like, their favorite, like, celebrity's concert or whatever. Like, they will steal, right. They will lie. They will just, like, break all the rules and they'll be, like, reckless. But that's what, that, you know what? They're a hell yes on whatever that thing is, right? And so one of the things, here's one of my, like, launch secrets, how I've done, like, multiple six-figure launches, several of them this year, is that every time I try to sell something, the very first thing that I do in any launch plan is to make sure that the thing that I'm selling is a hell fucking yes to me, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not like I just decide. Well, I just do decide, but then I get to work in my brain to sell the program to myself. And where I think, like, components of it that don't feel like a hell yes, I work on it so that it is a hell yes. Mm-hmm. So that by the time I'm done with that, it's an intentional process, takes time, takes thought energy. I'm so powerfully sold that I can turn anyone else into a hell yes because I think it's such a hell yes, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't think it's a hell yes, I just think you're confused. So your right. client's hell yes will come from your hell yes. And if you're like, oh, but if it's, you know, like $6,000 instead of $5,000, they won't want it. That's because you think that, like, that price different, like, matters even because the result that you're offering them is just not that much of a hell yes. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm just going to give everyone one of my thoughts about working with me that I think anyone, this is, like, the scale of how you can apply it. Like, my simple thought is the investment in my program is like the value is 10x the actual cash investment. Like, I'm just, like, so convinced, and I'm like, this is for the rest of their life. So really put a number on the value of your program and then think about how you can increase it and increase it and increase it. So it's 10x the investment, and then it's fucking easy.
And love it. And just because people can get confused, how you 10x and add even more value to your program isn't by you going out and doing more shit.
True. I've fallen guilty to that along the way. I felt
me
guilty
too,
to that
right?
Part.
It's like, oh, yeah. Add more value? Oh, that means I have to go take this other training or I have to add in this other thing. It's not actions. It's not adding more shit. It comes from you thinking differently. It comes from you asking yourself higher quality questions. It comes from your self-concept. Make it more elevated. It comes from your client concept, who you think your client is and what they're capable of. Elevate that. What you think is possible as far as transformations go, right? Push your brain to think of, like, what if more transformation is possible? What thoughts would I have to have in order to, you know, like, catalyze a bigger transformation? And then always, like, look for the clues, like, look for the answer in your own thinking, right? And that's really, this is going to save you so much time, right? You creating the highest valuable program possible, it's going to come from you being willing to really, really push your brain to think higher quality thoughts on behalf of your clients. And that does not take you going out and doing a million things in the world. Like, it just requires you and your brain and your heart.
Mm-hmm. And that willingness to like fail forward and keep moving forward and like use it. Like, I wear every fail as like a badge of honor. I'm like, yep, fuck that up. Amazing. Love it. Like, really.
I often think of it as like, I mean, I'm not the only person to say this, but I often think of it as like paying taxes on your growth, right? Yeah. Like, there are taxes on growth, and taxes look like, you know, failing, embarrassment, like, you know, all of this stuff that we want to avoid. And with seasoned entrepreneurs, every time they have a fail, a face flop, they think, oh yeah, that's the tax we pay. It's how it is. With newbie entrepreneurs, they have a face flop and they're like, oh no, I failed. And they just, it's like not wanting to pay taxes. Like, mm-hmm. that's literally what it takes. So, because if you're a newbie and there aren't that many like entrepreneurs around you advising you on this, like, take what Vicky and I are saying. Like, this is what it takes. Like, I want you to start a tax log.
Yeah.
Success tax log, and write down every shitty thing that happens to you, every failure you go through, every emotional breakdown. Yep, I'm paying my taxes. And mm-hmm. and then expect the more those pile up, the more success you'll have.
Exactly. And it's not like we're sitting here saying, and then we feel amazing all the time. It's like, no, I was telling someone just before we recorded, I had like a deep dive last week into like crash, burn, fail. But it now takes me less time. Like, I sat in it and I was like, oh, this is definitely happening for me. This is, I paid a heavy tax and I'm all in, but it still feels terrible. Don't think that like you're going to get to a certain point where suddenly it's all daisies and sunshine. You don't want to get to that point, because that's not the discomfort.
Since you said that, you know, I had my biggest launch ever this past week and I made almost $300,000, and I like had such a meltdown that like several people had to coach me out of it. It's like, it just does not go away. And that's okay. You get better at managing it. You get better at surfing the waves. Like, at first, you just, the wave crashes against you and you just like flail and you drink like salt water and you're like, ugh. And then the waves are still happening, but you're like on the surfboard a little bit more.
Yes. Love that example. So true.
Okay. Well, that was amazing value.
Yeah, I can't wait to listen.
Yeah, putting it into money, it'd be worth a lot of money. But you know what, dear listener, if you take this and you go apply it, you take the learning and you really go out and think differently and do differently and feel differently, then you create money from this conversation that you just heard for free, right? Be somebody who does that. Be somebody who is not afraid of the discomfort. Be somebody who is intentionally goes out to expand her or his discomfort tolerance, and everything you want will be on the other side of that.
Definitely.
So fun. Any last words?
Money is just a symbol of your relationship with yourself. Just have your own back.
Oh, fuck. That's good. Money is just a symbol of your relationship to yourself. And whatever that number is, whatever the circumstances of your money situation is, you can start to change that relationship with your thoughts now without any external thing changing. And that's the great beauty of it.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Vicky, again so much for being here. I love having you here. We'll probably do it again sometime.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, if you want a shot of fresh inspiration and actionable tips to improve your marketing every single week in your inbox, you better get on my email list. Sign up to receive my free ebook called 20 Unsolicited Copy Tips. It's been known to get people to come out of the woodwork and ask to work with you. So get on that, link in the show notes, and I'll see you in your inbox next time. Stop if you just call me.